to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Hey, welcome. It's good to be back again. We've got some interesting topics.
Absolutely. To kick off the summer too.
Yes, for
almost,
sure.
Almost.
It's pretty bad today, but it's going to get hot here shortly.
Yeah, for sure. So part of being in the world but not of the world is choosing how you spend your recreational time. And, you know, Christians have TV sets, we have radios, we have computers and internet access and things like that. So it can be tough sometimes to wade through the waters of media and entertainment to discern what is appropriate and inappropriate for a Christian. And this can be a topic that I think can set off people's fuses.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes. So there are certain programs on TV and programs on the internet and things like that that are very popular. But they may not necessarily be God honoring. So Shane, what do we use to discern what is and isn't appropriate for a Christian in our entertainment choices?
Well, here's why it's a hard topic is because I think most people know what to do. They just don't want to do it because they enjoy a lot of these films. And how this topic came up is something is out right now, Game of Thrones. I haven't even seen an episode of it. I really wouldn't know what it was other than following on Facebook, and there's so many people watching it. I mean, the same thing was with Twilight, you know, years ago with the vampires, or what about Harry Potter, the magic, and well, they're good witches and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we're going to always be dealing with this in the Christian community. For more information, I did write an article at ShaneEidelman.com entitled, let me see if I can remember here, Game of Thrones. And then I put, where should Christians draw the line? And I just was amazed at the different comments on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram from different people who are saying, hey, this is not a good thing for Christians to be watching. And then seeing the negative comments like, oh, you're legalistic, or you're a Pharisee, or you're too rigid, or one youth pastor, I'll never forget, I spoke, and I know he was convicted. He didn't like what I had to say. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, I don't care what I watch as long as my heart is right. And that doesn't make any sense. If you know anything about biblical studies, what you allow into your heart and your mind through the eye gate and through entertainment definitely affects you at a very deep level. And he said, plus I need to watch what everyone else is watching so I can relate to them, which is so far beyond what the Bible encourages that I wouldn't even know where to start, other than you don't have to commit adultery to know that adultery is not wrong. You don't have to. So what that argument really is, it's just an excuse to cross the line. So here's what's happening. As many people know, now this movie, apparently Game of Thrones has nudity, excessive violence, witchcraft, and you know, it's just obviously we shouldn't be watching it. Come on, folks. Paul said to the church in Philippi, whatever is noble and honest and upright and good, meditate on these things. 2 Timothy, Ephesians, talk. I mean, there's so many scriptures that we could spend the next half hour quoting them that to come out from among them. David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes in my house. Job, I'm not going to lust after a woman in my heart. And there's so much there. So I think we know that. But here's what's happening. A lot of people in the church, here comes a bombshell. Make the bomb sound. A lot of people in the church aren't Christians that say they're Christians. So obviously they're going to like these movies. Now, I mean, the flesh probably does like these movies. I mean, if I sat down and started watching it, I'm sure my flesh would, man, this is really good. And started to watch, you know, certain things. Let me just give you an example. Last night on Netflix, I thought about discontinuing Netflix a couple of times. We don't watch it too much, but my daughter found a movie. She goes, oh, Dad, this might be good. And I said, well, let's watch it. You know, and within 3 minutes, I said, well, see, she cussed twice and there's girls in bikinis around the pool. What's this movie about? Well, it's about a girl wrestler. And I'm like, well, this is not going to go in a good direction. So we just changed it. And, you know, of course they weren't happy, but my point was, many people who say they're Christians aren't Christians. So of course they love these movies, and that's why they don't like us saying things against the movies. And if the world loves something, if, man, this is really taken off, the culture loves it, Hollywood loves it, I guarantee Christians should not be watching it, unless it's Leave It to Beaver, if you can go back that far. But then we also have something interesting in the church where there's a lot of people who are not, we use the term spirit-filled loosely. What that simply means is filled with God's Spirit. They're up early or they're late at night seeking Him, reading His Word, praying. And they can't watch garbage because they're putting light and holiness into their heart. They don't want to watch darkness. Why should darkness entertain us? You know, so you don't have a lot of people in the church that are Christians. You don't have a lot of people in the church who are spirit filled with God's Spirit. So you have this small remnant saying, hey guys, by the way, this is not good for you spiritually. This will not build you up spiritually. It's not good for our kids to watch these types of things. It's not good to open the door in our homes to these types of things. And then people lash out at you because they are convicted. They don't like to be challenged. But I'm not looking to that group. I'm looking to the group that when I get the emails, you know, thanks for that article. That really opened my eyes. I knew it was, I knew it wasn't good. I just couldn't put my finger on it or something. So I'm trying to reach that group to, hey, and not be legalistic. That doesn't get us anywhere. Not being mean-spirited and, well, I'm not going to watch just because. I don't want to watch it because I don't want to lust after women other than my wife. I don't want to watch it because I want to go to bed with nightmares. I don't want to watch it because I'll wake up not wanting to study God's Word. Right now, God has me in a very interesting spot where I'm just waking up between 3 and 4 a.m., going out in the garage, putting on worship for an hour, and just breaking and praying for our nation, praying for our church needs. And it's just a wonderful time. And I don't want to break that fellowship. So I don't watch a lot of entertainment. If you talk about entertainment online, you know, you've got to be careful there too. We've got software on our computers that blocks pornography sites. And I do get a lot of stuff in spam that says all this stuff. And you just go to delete button, delete, delete, delete. I mean, it's that simple. If you're not feeding on these things, you're not hungry for those things. It's the people who really struggle half the time. Half the reason they're struggling is because they're feeding the thing they should be fighting. They're feeding it, feeding. Why is lust so strong? Why is this happening? Why? Because they keep allowing entertainment to come into their heart. And that's the big thing about entertainment. Look at where the word comes from. It's entertaining me. And like Paul said in Romans 1, you know, yeah, woe be to those who do it, but those of you also who allow it, or I mean, you could say are entertained by it, it doesn't bother you. And we used to blush in this country when we would watch things like this. And there's a good article. I was going to pass it out. Let me see. The title is actually... Leonard Ravenhill sent this to Paul Washer decades ago. Others may, you cannot. And it talks about that separated life. And I'm going to hand this out to some of the staff here. But it talks about you, if you want to be used of God, you're going to live the separated life. If you want to, worship leaders will probably hear this, and pastors, preachers, if you want to preach with power, if you want God to just anoint your worship, it comes from who you are all week. What you're feeding your mind, the time you're spending with the Lord, and then that comes out in our worship, that comes out in our study of the Bible and all these different things. And I just saw people getting harassed on Facebook because they said, "Hey, this is not a good thing for Christians to be watching." So that's kind of what prompted, I think, this podcast. And just admit it, man. Man up. Just say, you know what, I shouldn't be watching this. Stop trying to make excuses and for this garbage. It should just be something that we should eliminate. And if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, begin to eliminate these things that are pulling you down. Here's a good test. Is what I'm watching, what I'm viewing, leading me closer to God, building that relationship, or pulling me farther away? Now, granted, there's a middle ground there. I think a while back we put on the kids like Transformers, you know, this, and like, I don't know. You know, I'd only watch 5-10 minutes of it. And we have to be selective. I have to be careful. I don't want to get overboard. There's other movies out there that, you know, I mean, you can find happy medium, but overall, you have to really watch what you're allowing into your mind. Not only that, what about even if it's not too bad, but you're spending a couple hours a day watching things like mindless sports and videos and movies and no time for God, that will affect you spiritually. So there is definitely a principle there of reaping and sowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you touched on something that is relevant to a lot of people in the church, because I think with issues like this, it's relevant to one's spiritual maturity.
True. Exactly right.
I think you're going to have a lot of people in the church that are new believers or that are infantile in their faith. And I don't say that to be degrading or insulting or anything
true.
Like that. But there are people that have been in the church for a long time that possess an infantile faith. And so I think that things like this are issues of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And so I think that that's the thing I think that a lot of people need to realize is that when you index your time and when you index your money and you index your choices and things like this, and you look at, even if there's not things that are necessarily bad, but like you said, if there's things that are just non-value added with respect to your faith life, you know, and you have things that maybe they're neutral, but they are not investing into you, especially if you have a gifting. You know, if you are a pastor, a teacher, a worship leader, if you have some kind of, you know, if you're a missionary or if you have some kind of gifting or role within the church that is obvious and you're not doing anything to actively invest into that gifting, you're going to feel very dry and you're going to feel very quenched in the spirit and you're going to feel just very, almost kind of like just lost, you know? And it's easy, you know, it's much easier to flop down and be lulled in by a piece of entertainment than it is to make the choice to invest into whatever that gift is. And so, I think that's one thing that a lot of people would do well to remember with this kind of stuff is even if it's not overtly sinful, which there are things that are overtly sinful that we stumble and we fall in our entertainment choices and we need to do better. We need to do better as the professors of Christ to hold ourselves accountable to the choices that we profess, because if we make a choice to go see this movie and this movie is overtly blaspheming the name of the Lord, well, woe be to us if we give the impression that we endorse something like that, right, you know, right. as Christians. But I think for things that like would otherwise be neutral, you know, how much of those neutral things are actually occupying your time and are getting in the way of how you would otherwise be using your calendar?
What about even with their kids? Mm-hmm. Like we're seeing kids, screen time for kids is not, you know, it's not healthy. It's not real good. We need to get them out. It breaks my heart now to see so many kids just sitting down on their phone for hours. I mean, they should be outside doing something. I mean, of course we can't get away from the phone generation, but I mean, we can put it down. We can say, okay, kids, after a certain time, let's have family time. You know, we can really work on that. That would be my challenge to parents. What are we leaving for our children? Oh, how are we influencing them? Yeah, but they'll throw a fit. Yes, they will. But you run the house. They don't. You know, make some hard decisions. I sometimes just shut off the Wi-Fi. Just go over to the Wi-Fi and shut it off. And, you know, there you go. Let's go outside and play. Let's go do something. And it does take, you know, a little bit of energy. It takes focusing on the right things. So I think that's in a nutshell when it comes to entertainment. Is it building you up spiritually or is it pulling you down? If everybody loves this new movie or this whatever, that's a good indication you're probably not going in the right direction if the culture loves something. But also think about this. A lot of the people who are upset at what I'm saying are usually those Christians, even pastors I've seen recently, where they make their own L beer in their garage. They like to smoke cigarettes. They like to go to Vegas and gamble. I mean, they have this whole worldly lifestyle. So of course they like these movies. They're not walking closely with God. And you know, if that hurts feelings or offends, I mean, that's just Bible, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Building on the foundation of Christ means honoring what you look at, what entertains you, because the mind is powerful. What goes in comes out. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. And now they're even recognizing this in the medical industry with neuroplasticity, where your mind, your brain can actually change. They used to think, no, you're predispositioned, you're locked in, it's genetics. No, you can change your mindset, change your thinking. And that's, I believe, what has a lot to do with being filled mightily with the Spirit of God is what you set your heart on all day. As A.W. Tozer said, you know, who a pastor is all week is who he's going to be when he steps to the pulpit. So the power that's missing in a lot of these sermons throughout the United States is simply because many pastors are living a carnal life. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. And I don't say that judging, because I can walk that fence just like anyone else. I can, you know, slip back into carnality, and then you just lose that anointing, that unction, that power of the Spirit. Because what I found is the more time I spend with God, the more I'm filled with His Spirit, with boldness, with the truth, and you want to preach. And if I have a tendency to watch what I shouldn't be watching or doing what I shouldn't be doing, you lose that. The old-time preachers used to call it anointing, unction, power, breakthrough, you know, as he received his baptism of fire, you know, and that comes from holiness. Holiness is not a bad word. I'm actually teaching on it this Sunday when Paul talked about, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So think about that for a minute. Would the Holy Spirit, who's residing in the believer, would he sit there and watch that garbage? That's convicting. So I think we exhausted this one, unless you have any thoughts.
Well, one thing I think I would just leave the viewer with is because I know every Christian in passing through an infantile faith to a more mature faith goes through the period where it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
And you have to get used to being making uncomfortable choices for the sake of glorifying God. You know, I've been
in my
own personal study time this morning, I'm going through Jeremiah again in the Septuagint, and you know, and I read the part just after the new covenant promise where the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and he says, say to the people about what he's going to do as far as bringing them back into the land and drawing them from the many nations and things like that. And he says, they will know, the nations will know that I am the Lord when I am sanctified among my people.
Yeah.
You know,
holy, set apart.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I've been doing something interesting for the last several months, which is I get up in the morning and I do my morning cardio, but I listen to my worship at the same time. And it's interesting because you have this, you know, it's like the way I do my workouts is I do the hardest part at the end.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you,
yeah.
And you kind of have this, you know, and I tell you what, it's been a real teaching time for me to think like, okay, the hardest part of the workout has just started. And everything in me says, get off the treadmill or get off the whatever, you know, and stop. And then, you know, some song comes on, Yes I Will or yes, Amazing Will. Grace or whatever. And it's just this idea of I can choose to persevere in the face of being uncomfortable.
Yes.
I can choose to exercise discipline even though it's uncomfortable. And that's the example is relevant to this topic, I think, because there is a special type of drawing near, because Romans says that for as much as it's been appointed to us to suffer with him, it's also been unto us to be glorified with him. And so there is a special type of maturity that you can find in drawing near to Christ through making an uncomfortable choice that will glorify him. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the thing that I would leave the people with, where if you really want to go see a movie that's blaspheming the Lord because everybody else wants to see it and it's probably got really good production value and all this stuff, if you make the decision in spite of your feelings to do something that you know is obedient to the Lord,
right.
He will meet you there. And it's a very, in persevering through that uncomfortable feeling, there's a very intimate time of fellowship that you have in the Holy Spirit through that. So that would just be my encouragement that I would leave people with.
That's a great point. And, you know, I wrote in that article, Game of Thrones, on my website, I'm trying to find that part about what, you know, an excuse people often use is, well, Shane, we got to relate to them. They got to see. Actually, that's the problem is we look too much like the world. It's really when you look different, not being weird and judging people. Like, you know, if I go into a bar or someplace, it happens now and then, and hey, do you want a drink? I'm like, no, you know, if I have one, I'll have eight. But that's good. Let's just still fellowship. You know, here's and it's an opportunity to show what God has done in your life. Same thing with entertainment. You know, hey, do you want to go watch this movie? Or can I? Kids go, no, not really. And here's why. And so many people say, but we got to relate to them. But the problem isn't that we look. The problem is actually that we look too much like the world. So you can't make a difference when you look just like the thing you want to make a difference in. There's no difference in your life. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no difference. So it's really the holiness. Here's what is attractive to the world. Not all the time. People get upset. But here's why Christianity is so attractive to some people, is they see a Christian filled with love, true love, not judgmentalism, love and joy and peace and contentment, and they live differently. And the person says, I want that. What do they want with a person that looks just like them, has the same problems? They're complaining, they're gossiping, they're cussing. You know, it's sad to see. So in a nutshell, I hope that helps our listeners. Just be careful in this area. And like Luke said, you know, that's a great point to leave on, is it will be a little difficult. It is hard sometimes to turn that TV off, but the fruit of discipline outweighs the pain of regret every time.
Amen. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged. If you enjoyed our topic today, send us another one. Send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com, and we will set aside an episode to talk about it. We thank you for listening to this episode today. My name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us again on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.